Father, I ask now, Lord, that words that are just my blessed thoughts may be forgotten when we leave this place, and words that are from you, Lord, will penetrate our hearts and minds and make a difference to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So what are the four goals?
I can. Have you gone from... You were still on mute.
Oh, I was on mute. Oh, well, that's good. You didn't want to hear my singing, I'm sure. can you hear me now? What are the four goals?
Be united.
Be united, in love. Encouraged. In heart. Four riches of understanding and... Mystery of God. Okay. Now, that is from Colossians, which is a really meaty book written by Paul to the church in Colossians. Now, the church in Colossians were lovely, God-fearing, Bible-based, solid Christians. However, they were being swayed by the ways of the world and the teaching of non-Christians. Is that similar to what we experience? I actually read the book of Colossians and thought, wow, that is so relevant to us. But what I wanted to look at today was really dig deep into a couple of verses which are pivotal to the whole of the book of Colossians. And those are verses, chapter 2, verses 2 and 6. John, could we have those up, please? Sorry, chapter 2, verses 6 to 7. Okay, because they help with those four goals. So we're going to do a dig. We're going to dig deep into this verse. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Now, Tom and I, this is Tom, celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary on Monday. We actually met at school. Can you believe that? When we were 16. No, 16. Okay, when we were 16. Because, of course, I was a child bride. You know, having been married 30 years, I have to be a child bride. Not really. When we were dating, we were obviously sort of in love with each other and all of that. But in our gap, we both took a gap year after leaving school. And Tom went to Peru and I went to Israel. Now, this was 1986. And there was no internet. This is our daughter sitting here. There was no internet in 1986. There was no email. And we actually had to write on pieces of paper and put stamps on them and send them to each other. And it took about 3 or 4 weeks to get from Peru to Israel and Israel to Peru. So on our anniversary of starting to go out, we were so in love with each other. It's really cute. Tom sent me a telegram. Can you believe it? I got a telegram from Tom. And I was opening this telegram and I thought it's going to say, I love you, Rachel. You're so beautiful. You're so lovely. Or, you know, romantic words. And what it said was Colossians 3:17. I was a little bit disappointed. I was. It did say, love Tom as well. Okay. Let me read you what Colossians 3:17 says. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Very similar to the verses that we're concentrating on today. Be rooted in Christ. Live in Christ. Be built up in him, strengthened him in him, and overflowing with thankfulness. So, how do we become rooted and established in Christ Jesus? How do we get to that, to the knowledge, which is one of the goals, of the mystery of Christ? Well, there's another verse in Colossians, which I would like you all to turn to. So if you can get your Bibles and turn to Colossians. And I'm actually going, by the way, in my job, while you're turning to Colossians and finding it, in my job, I am taught to read body language. So I was practicing my sermon on Tom yesterday, and halfway through, he totally glazed over. I thought, okay, cutting that bit out of the sermon, that's not a stain. So, dear, I'm just warning you that I will notice if you're nodding off or glazing over. anyway, Colossians, have you got it? Have you found it? What page is it on?
1118.
Right, so, the mystery of Christ. Obviously, it can't be summarized in a verse, but I think that there is a really good verse which helps us here to get an idea of what the mystery of Christ is. Chapter 1, verse 21. Now, just so that you don't all go to sleep, I would like you to turn to someone close to you. Did you get it? No reading glasses. Oh, no, has anyone got a spare pair? Spare pair. There might be one in the back to lend over the reading. I'll read the verse out for you, okay? Right, this is a summary of the gospel. This is a summary of why we are here today. Colossians 1, verse 21. I'm going to read it, but I want you to, in a minute, turn to someone near to you and try and explain it to them, okay? In simple words, this is what it says. Once you were alienated from God, okay? Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blame and free from accusation. Lots of big words. Turn to someone, 2 minutes. Tell them what you think of that. So, how did you get on? I hope I can call you to an end. I hope you saw the gospel of Jesus Christ, some of the mystery of what God has done for us, because he loves us so much that he wanted us to be in relationship with him. He wants us to be in relationship with him. You know what? God loves us so immensely, he just wants to pour love down on us. But do you think that means we can just sit in our deck chairs and say, give it to me, God. Just give it to me. Do you think, just pour it on me. Do you think that's what we need to do? No? Should we just sunbathe there? I'm here, Lord. Just bless me. God wants us to be active participants in relationship with him. So yes, he is asking us to do something. So I want to give you an example. So you already know I've been married to Tom for 30 years. In relationship with Tom for 30 years. Now just imagine that when we got married, I decided I was going to join the Tom Sanderson fan club, right? Just imagine, he's laughing, just imagine I decided I was going to read the book about him regularly. I was going to talk to him just for 5 minutes every day, talk at him and give him my shopping list. Please do this, do that, do this, do the other. But not listen to him. Just imagine that I went to a gathering of his fans once a week and sang songs about him and listened to talks about him. And then when I walked out of the meeting, I just forgot about him and went on with the rest of my life. Now, what do you think about that relationship? Pretty sad. I think Tom would be justified to say I was stalking him. Okay? Certainly, it would not be a rewarding relationship for me, nor Tom, I think. So, and I'm talking to myself just as much as all of us, what does God think of our relationship with him? Do we leave this place the same that we went in, or different? When we talk to him, do we talk at him? Or do we listen? Do we catch, as Susie's already mentioned, what he's trying to say to us? Are we rooted in him? Are we going deep? Are we digging deep? This is active. This is participatory. This is not, give it to me, Lord, bless me. This is, Lord, I'm here. This is spending positive and good quality time with the Lord who loves you, who wants to bless you, but who wants to be in relationship with you. Now, I wonder if we can have the next picture. Now, some of you went on a safari yesterday. Who went on a safari yesterday? There was a safari supper. And we ended up with, so we went around the parish to various lovely people's homes who were offering kind hospitality, and about 18, 19 of us ended up in our house, in Tom and I house. And in our garden, we have this beautiful tree, although it's not brilliantly focused there, but that beautiful tree is ancient. I don't know how old it is, but it's very, very old. Now, what do you think of the tree roots? What do you think of the roots there? They're pretty deep, okay? They go, you don't think they're not deep. Half a meter. But do they go out far? They go out far. Okay, so they don't go deep. Not a good example then, hey? Oh, swish. Okay, all right, thank you. Okay, well, how old is that tree then? 160, okay. Okay, but it didn't start that size, did it? It grew. Yeah, it grew. It started small, I imagine, okay? And it grew because it got watered and it got sunned upon and it got watered and it got sunned upon. That's poor English, isn't it? It received sunshine and it photosynthesized. Got an arborist here, but I get it right. Next picture, please. However, it's not very clear. Can you see that point? What's happened there? It's a pruning wound. Okay, this tree has been pruned. So over the years, people have come along and pruned it and cut it. Okay? Can I have the next picture, please? That is a hydrangea. That's outside my house. Now, last autumn, Tom pruned this hydrangea so hard that I thought he'd killed it. Literally, it was just a little stump. I thought it was dead. And we sort of had a little competition to see, is it gonna live or not? And this was taken just a few days ago. It is beautiful. It is flowering, okay? So roots growing, sunshine being fed, being watered, being pruned. Next picture. This is all gonna be obvious in a minute. Right, arboretus. What's that bit that I've highlighted there? Been broken. So we did have a tree surgeon come, and that bit that I've done arrows to is fatter than the rest of the branch, okay? And that is because the tree surgeon, like you've just said that at one point the branch broke, but the tree healed itself. And by healing itself, it got a little bit fatter. And if you look the other side, and I didn't take that photo, you can actually see the fracture line of where the branch had been broken. So, my question to us, we are like trees. God wants our roots to go deep or spread far. Sometimes we are pruned, and it's painful. And it can almost feel like we've died, or look like, or feel like it's a desert, and it's hard and it's tough. And sometimes we can be broken, but we are healed, or we can be healed by God and his love for us. So we like that Cretan pine, did you know it's a Cretan pine? can grow tall, and we can withstand the storms, which I promise you will come, and the hardships, which if you're not going through now, you will. But we know that we are rooted and established in Christ, the mystery of whom we have already discussed. And what's more, that blooming tree produces fruit the whole year round, which for us is a pain because we're always having to pick them up, or Thomas. But surely we should be like this too, bearing fruit the whole year round, even when we're broken, even when we're pruned, because our roots are going deep and we are firmly, firmly established in Jesus Christ, who loves us, who cares for us, who died for us, who has forgiven us, and who wants us to be in relationship with him. So we're just going to have a little time catching from God now. And we're going to watch a YouTube song, if John can find it, which is about 4 minutes. And while we watch this video, just spend time with Jesus. Maybe ask yourself with God, how rooted am I in you, Jesus? How established am I? And how could I be more established, more rooted? How can I go deeper? Let's catch from God.
Spirit begins.
So, how can we become more rooted in God? One thing in the verse that we were studying, the verses at the end, says overflowing with thankfulness. Now, I want to tell you a story about a patient I once had who gave me and my family a sack of potatoes and a chicken. Now, this patient was when we lived in Africa, and she and her family were poorer than the church mice. Do we have any church mice?
I'm not going to tell you because I have to get that.
Not going to tell us, okay. They were poorer than the mice in the church. She came into the hospital where I was working, and she was nearly dead. She, a week before, had fallen. She was 9 years old, and she had fallen into a fire, and her dress had caught ablaze. And she had second degree and third degree burns all the way around her trunk. And they'd become infected because the family was so poor, they couldn't get any medical treatment for her. So we looked after her, and we treated her wounds, and we gave her all the antibiotics. And we had to put honey on her wounds because that helped to heal them. But by putting honey on the wounds, meant all the bees and the wasps were attracted to her. So she had to be cocooned inside mosquito net. And she, trying to put a 9-year-old in a net 24/7, weeks, days and weeks on end, they get bored. So I would take my kids' books to her and she would read all our kids' books. And she got to know us and we got to know her a little bit, and she stayed at the hospital, and eventually she had a skin graft, and eventually she left fully healed. And that's how we got to be given a chicken and a sack of potatoes, because they were so thankful. Now my question to us, are we equally thankful to people who bless us and who help us and who look after us and who annoy us and who swear at us and who do bad things to us in the supermarket, in the queues, on the roads? Overflowing with thankfulness. Are we overflowing with thankfulness? Are we that sort of person? Oh, I'm telling myself I need to be more overflowing. But other things, I could talk for hours and you'll be very bored. Instead, so that you don't have to hear for hours and hours, we in the next term, Susie, are going to study how we get more rooted, more established with God. We are going to be learning about holy habits, some of which I've got a list of. I'm just going to briefly tell you a few, see if you can catch these. Prayer, Bible study, fellowship, breaking of bread, giving, service, hospitality, safari supper, yeah, hospitality, gladness, generosity, worship, making new disciples, discipleship, fasting, meditation, stillness, resting, pilgrimage, play, messy church, it's a holy habit, okay, keep going, prophetic witness, campaigning, it's a good one, isn't it, not camping, that's not a holy habit, that's quite unholy, campaigning. No, it's not, it's good. Doing justice, kindness. Because what does the Lord require of you but do justice, to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? That's from Micah. So, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, let us continue to live in Christ, to become rooted, or even more rooted in Him and built up in Him, to be active participants in this love relationship, not the fan club, but the love relationship with Him. And as it says in that telegram I got from Tom 33 years ago, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Amen.
And let's do it with passion, because actually passion makes a huge difference. So can we stand and sing now?